Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello, friends and lovers. It's Eva here.
Lovers is a weird word. Thank you for using it.
I call everybody lovers. I do.
That makes me very happy and a little bit squicked out.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Hi, Kylie. How are you?
I am wonderful. Now, especially now that I'm talking to you. How are you?
Yeah, I feel better now that I'm talking to you, too.
Before we officially started recording, we were both like, I'm in a weird mood today.
Yeah. Like, I've been in a weird mood all week. Yeah. So we're gonna hash some of that out.
Yeah. All right. Spill it. What's going on for you?
Yeah. So one thing that I think this podcast is about, like when we started this, we were like, we're going to just be transparent where it's applicable. And I think what will be interesting is it'll be a place for us to share our own journeys and our own transformation in real time when we haven't figured everything out yet, right? And for me, I think what's been coming up for me is like this deep desire to do even more spiritual work. And the desire shows up for me as being like, I want to just press pause on life, on my job, which is my primary focus. And like, I don't know what that looks like. Go on. Is it like another meditation retreat? Is it like some type of workshop? Is it just like quiet time with myself? I don't know what it is, but I know.
Is it absconding into the woods?
Yeah. Is it like, yeah. And Adam and I are talking about like moving into the country. Like, and it's for me, I really believe, this is the thing, I really believe that happiness does not come from the outside. Meaning, there is some part of me, I think, that the reason I work so hard on my business is because I'm like, once I'm fucking, you know, like I've quote unquote made it, whatever that might look like I never have to worry about money again. I never have to worry about getting clients again. Like, I will be set. But I just know that that's not true, because that's never been true in anything of my life. I've gotten so many of the wonderful things that I wanted. I have this beautiful relationship. I love where I live. I have a wonderful job. These things are all great and they do add to my life. But I think so much of my spiritual practice is about, no, the suffering comes from my own mind. Like that is just, this is what the, you know, it's the Buddhist way of thinking. It's like,
yeah.
Wherever you are, or what's the saying? Wherever you go, there you are. Like,
yeah.
You're gonna, like, the peace that you're looking for is inner peace, like an understanding of just not listening to the mind and living in presence. Essentially, what I'm talking about is I want to be enlightened. If I'm gonna be really honest, let me just put it out there. I want to be enlightened. But obviously that's a huge, tall order. Or maybe it's not actually. Some, you know, Eckhart Tolle is like, that's just some story that your ego wants you to believe. You can be enlightened now. How? Just be present now. Like that moment of peace that you feel when you're present, like that's a glimpse into like enlightenment. Anyway, so I'm just like, I feel conflicted because I love my job and it does feel very spiritual. And I feel like it's part of my spiritual path. And I've learned in the past, like, spiritual awakening does not happen from like locking yourself in a room and like secluding yourself from the rest of the world. Or, you know, I don't want to be that monk who's going to go meditate in a cave and not have to deal with real life. That's not what I believe in. But also I want to put all of my eggs in one basket, which is like in finding enlightenment. And I'm like, okay, what does that look like?
I feel like what I hear you saying is you want like time freedom. Yeah. Like you want the freedom of time to like really pursue your own like spiritual development.
I think so. Yeah. But I mean, that's the other thing. I have a lot of luxuries here. I have a lot of time because I work for myself and I don't have kids. So there's a lot of freedom there. It's more just that like, It's what I've been looking for my entire life, which is like being a seeker for the truth. Whatever the fuck that is. I don't know what it is, but I feel pulled to do it and I feel called. I'm like, there's something else beyond just my job. Obviously I know that like my job is just a vehicle, but like, what is that? I just feel like I want to go deeper and deeper, discover like different, I don't even know what that means. So it's a thought. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. It's just, you know, when people talk about like, there are seekers out there, people who are just like, you're a spiritual seeker. Like, I think that's just me. That's always been a part of me. And
what I recognize in what you're saying is like the moment before you're ready to make a change, but you just start hearing the whispering of like that, yes. Like you're ready for like change is coming and like you can feel it, like the wind has shifted, you know, things are feeling a little bit different and you don't even know what the change is yet. And you're not ready to act on it,
totally.
But you just can feel that it's there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're kind of like excited about
it. I am. Or
are you feeling restless and frustrated?
I think I also feel fear because every time you're called to like change, you know, we were actually just talking about this, but like, every time, whether it's an up-leveling or whatever, you're like, am I crazy? Is this the right thing to do?
Yeah.
Do I have to leave things behind? Is there going
to
be...
goes back to that time I Googled, am I having a spiritual awakening or am I losing my mind? Yes. That's what I'm going to call my future book.
Oh, my God, I love that. I don't know. So the funny thing is I don't really know where this came from. This happens to me every once, like actually it happens pretty regularly. We're like, just doing my regular life thing. And then it's like a call to action being like, no, there's something else there. Like, go explore the different dimensions of your consciousness. Like, that's what I want to spend my life doing.
But I love you so much.
But that shit's also really scary. So anyway, if there are any developments, I will keep all of you guys posted. But thank you for
really listening. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. What about you, Kylie? How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. We just had Mother's Day and my son is like the age now where like he gets what Mother's Day is. So he was really cute. I slept in and he came running up the stairs. He said, Mama, come downstairs. I have a card. I want to surprise you with a card. It's a surprise. And I just love that so much. Like, okay, I think we're going to teach you a little bit more about what surprise means, but let's go. We're going upstairs. You're going to close your eyes and then I'll put the card in your hand. And I'm going to say, open your eyes. And you're going to see the card. It's a surprise.
So he gets Mother's Day. It's still working on the surprise part.
Yeah, but it was very sweet. Yeah. So, I'll track of time briefly, but I'm in the final week of the launch for Alchemy for Healers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what everyone says about launching a course is that it's like the process of building your own business is, you've said many times, like this intense spiritual journey, if you're available to it being that, because it's a lot of like personal development and you come up against your own edge again and again. And I feel like launching a course, what I realized is just like that on hyperdrive, you know, because you're condensing into like this 3-week window.
Well, I've never launched a course, so I don't know, but it sounds really intense. Like because it's also, you care about it so much.
You do, you do. And like all of your gremlins come up and everything's sped up because if you're like, you know, I go on and I like sell readings and, you know, if someone buys a reading from me now versus next month, like they'll get it. But the course is like, this is it. This is your window to enroll in this course that I believe so, so strongly in and like love so dearly. And I want it to be everything. And then it's just this whole roller coaster of like, okay, I'm showing up and it's amazing and I feel great. And then, oh my God, it's working. People are so signing up. Like there's like all these beautiful people who signed up for this course and it's amazing. And then I had this moment of like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm. It was inevitable. Not just because it was you, but like for everybody.
Yeah. Right. Like, oh my God, people have signed up. Oh my God. Like, And then that's the next iteration, right? So you like gear yourself up to be like, I have this idea and it's going to be amazing and I'm going to put it out in the world. And then you have to show up consistently for that. And then people actually show up and you're like, oh fuck, can I actually pull off this thing? Am I actually worthy of this thing? Who am I? Like all of those gremlins show up and then you have to push through them because you only have 3 weeks to launch this course. Mm. So you have to like grapple with them real time.
I think that actually sounds kind of cool. It's like a boot camp for dealing with all your shit.
Yeah.
And I can imagine it's probably exhausting, like emotionally and spiritually, but if you can make it through, of which you will, you're going to come out on the other side like a different person, really.
Yeah. Which is also interesting because the whole point of the course is like, what are the stories that you're telling yourself that are keeping you small? Mm-hmm. And let's dig really deep and unpack them so you can let go of them, because that shit is not actually yours. It doesn't belong to you. You inherited it somewhere along the way. Like, you don't need to be carrying it around anymore. And so what's interesting is that the process of launching the course is also the process that we'll go through in the class, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, okay, what is the story that I was telling myself about like, you know, being, you know, believing in my ability to teach or believing in my ability to like show up and share my same message consistently. Cause that's the other thing, is that you're trying to be like, oh my God, is everyone sick of me? Well, I got to keep showing up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like I am getting to actually test out the very thing that I built this course on. Yeah. Right.
Which I think is good, because that's what coaches do, or like anyone in the healing. So essentially something that I learned early on in coaching is like, if I were to try to lose weight, it's true. Like, I don't want to have to learn to lose weight from someone who's never had to lose weight.
Right.
Like, right. You want to learn from someone who's been through the struggle, who knows exactly where you can have compassion from. It doesn't really make sense to me anyway. It could be different for other people. I don't want to learn from someone who's never struggled with weight.
Well, and that's what's funny is like, I built this whole course based on like, this was my journey, right? Like it wasn't the strategy. It was like, as I dealt with the stories I was telling myself and let them go, then I was able to be like, oh, look, now I know what I'm doing. And I'm able to like, clients are coming to me and it all feels like relatively full of ease, which is different than easy, but full of ease. And then, so I was like, great, I'm going to launch this course. And then it's like okay, great, now you have to do it again. Right. It's like, and that's the same lesson we just learned over and over again.
And that's going to be, because that's going to be like preparing you for this course, because it's kind of like, going back to that analogy, you've been through it and you're like, not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk.
Yeah.
Which is very much how I feel about my own coaching. Like when I talk about like coaching women who are like ambitious and like, you know, work really hard, but then like struggle with anxiety and like self-doubt, like that's all from my own experience. Like I used to be so crazy high strung and therefore unhappy and insecure and all these things. And I think so much of why I connect with my clients and why I believe in the work that I do is because like I've been there and I understand that suffering. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that I don't ever have those emotions. It's not like it's not like you don't ever feel, you know, like challenged by having to show up. And it's not like I never feel anxiety.
Right.
It's more like we've been through it.
And now you have tools so that you're oh, I know how to like, this doesn't get to be in charge anymore. This part of me that feels scared. And actually one of the things that I sort of have done is like, okay, like I've been doing a lot around like listening to what my fear has to say without letting it be in charge. So for a long time, what I've wanted to do is just like, I'm afraid. That's like, don't be afraid. This is stupid. I'm going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And that is valuable to a certain point. But I also think there's this way in which like your fear is trying to tell you something. And there's a part of you that feels safe, like staying small or like not taking the risk or whatever the thing is that you're resisting. And you will get more mileage if you tune into that fear and like listen to what is like, listen to what's underneath it.
Oh, probably totally, a little
version of you. Let's be real.
Yeah.
and like give it space to breathe and be heard. And then like put it up on the shelf as opposed to just like bury it and push it away from you. Cause then it actually doesn't go away.
Well, what you resist gets stronger, actually, I think. And you know, this is like my jam, all about like, this happens in meditation, is like observing what you're experiencing rather than like being it,
because
so that you can create some space between it, and you can learn to respond to it instead of react to it. And it's like, this is kind of what I mean also when I say like, allow yourself to feel your feelings. I don't mean like feel it so deeply that you're caught up in it, that like you, what did you say last week? You said something about like you're carrying this heavy backpack full of shit, and then you start thinking that you are the backpack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
I don't mean feel your feelings so much that you feel like you're the backpack, but you have to be able to sit with it and almost, or even, you know, be friends with it, so that you can understand it, so that you can work with it.
Yeah. And like, or like, you know, the way to put it is like, be curious about it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, my fear is showing up around, you know, my fear is telling me that it doesn't want me to like, I also getting curious, because sometimes our fear is also sneaky. Like one of the other things that was happening for me in this launch is that my fear was showing up as like, I was just telling myself I was too busy to show, to like post on social media or write emails. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, yeah. Which sure. You know, I got two kids. I work a corporate job. Like, yeah, my life is busy, but also that was the way my fear was manifesting, because the shit is sneaky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's been a very intense experience. I am grateful for it. I understand now why people say that they're tired. Cause when I first went to launch, I was like, I am so pumped up. I am so excited. This is going to be awesome. I felt like Rocky at the top of the steps. Like I was like, how can everybody not be excited about a launch? And now I'm like, oh, it's an emotional fucking gauntlet. That's why. It's not the showing up on social media that's tiring, although that does take a certain energy. It's like, you're just, you have to keep marching and like face your gremlins along the way. But as you said, then it's like a gift, because it's a little bit of a pressure cooker. I think you get to burn through things quicker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like better that than just like a long, slow burn, which is, I feel like more like what I've been doing. Cause I haven't launched the course, and I'm like, yeah, I know, if it ever comes one day, I could imagine that it's probably going to be a roller coaster.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, and it's also a roller coaster of like I keep looking to my right, cause I have the names of the people who signed up for the course. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, I like, you know, I wrote them on my wall. I have a wall full of like special art, and I put their names on this wall because I'm like so absurdly grateful and excited for these people who are also healers in this community that I get to like hold space for, where like, the magic is—it's like gonna be unreal, because there's just these amazing people on their journey, and we're just gonna like,
I feel you, girl. Yeah, work, being able to work with people in this capacity is like a privilege. Like I feel like, whoa, like I get to be let into your life in this really cool and intimate way. Like, I understand the feeling completely. It does feel like gratitude and just like, kind of just really special. Aww.
Yeah, really,
and like super special. So do you want to do a quick promo about the program? And
yeah, sure. So, so you should all take it.
yes.
So this is the last week to sign up for it. It's 8 weeks long. And what we're going to do is each week, we're going to take one of these stories. It's called Alchemy for Healers. We're going to take one of these stories that we tell ourselves, that hold ourselves back, and we're going to unpack them. We're going to pack them together in community in this like 90-minute intensive workshop that will be recorded for those of you who can't make it. And then there's all sorts of resources to support you around that each week. So there's like journal prompts, and there's guided meditation, and there's like community exercises. And then, and we're going to march through the particular set of stories that I think healers tell themselves that keep us small. And at the end of the 8 weeks, the last week is this business boot camp. So once you've cleared through the stories and you're feeling lighter, I've been referring to it as like the 20-foot tall version of yourself, right? Once you feel so full of like your own possibility and power, then we're going to talk practical strategy, because you all know that
we love practical strategy.
And so like, you know, I will share everything I know from my like decade of corporate sales experience and teaching other people how to sell. I have amazing guests lined up, including former podcast guests on like money mindset and branding and niching strategy. So the whole, that week alone is going to be like the equivalent of like some 4 week long courses. But I just don't think you can do that week without having all the like unpacking that happens before it. So you're going to get the practical, and you're going to get the spiritual, because that's what I'm all about, is also what this whole podcast is all about. Yep. The truth is, right now, like, the world needs your magic. Really, 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 truly. Like, if you are sitting there feeling like, you know, oh, I wish I could, like, you know, do Reiki more often for people, or I wish I could give readings for people, or I wish I could be a healer or coach, and I don't even quite know what that looks like, this will give you, this will create the space for you to listen to yourself and follow your own pangs and feel full of your own power and possibility, because, like, the world just needs the magic that you uniquely have to offer. So this is going to help you get there maybe a little faster.
Yeah, it definitely will, especially with the community. And also, I mean, let's just be real. We were talking about this on the other podcast, but, like, it's going to be more expensive next time. So, like, now
that
so, like, now's a really good time.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually purposely priced it, like, very accessible. There are payment plans because I know money is a complicated issue right now. So I really wanted to make it available to absolutely anyone. If you do the payment plan, I think it's like $56 a week. Like, I really wanted to make it available if
That's
you
awesome.
Feel called yeah. to it. And if you're interested, you should book a consult call with me. We'll talk about you, what you're interested in, if the course is the right fit for you. And I will say, for those of you who've been following along in this launch, I see you reading the emails, liking the posts. Every single time I have had a strong intuitive pull to work with a healer or a coach, and I have done it, I have been so blown away and grateful. So if your intuition is telling you that this is for you, you know, I would encourage you to listen to that, because in my experience, that's always led to really, really cool places.
Yeah. And we've said it here before. We just said it on one of the podcasts we just recorded. Like, everyone who's ever done, like, I don't know, I feel like a broken record now, because I've said this many times, but, like, you can't, no one can do your work for you, but you can't do it alone. And I'll just keep saying that, because, like, yeah, every time, anyone out there who I think is, like, doing really well and successful, they've always had help, some type of help. So,
because you deserve it.
Yeah. Invest.
Like,
yeah.
Believe in yourself, because you're worthy of it.
Yeah.
That being all said, Eva, what do you got to pitch us? What do you got to promote?
I'm going to be promoting both of the programs that I have, which is the 4-week meditation program and also the 4-month mindset program. I mean, for those of you guys who don't know who I work with women who, I think I mentioned this earlier, are ambitious, really hardworking, very passionate, oftentimes maybe consider themselves intense or have been called intense. And as a result, in their pursuit of their dreams, they feel anxious, really stressed out. Maybe they work too much, a lot of self-doubt and insecurity, which then shows up in their work and in their relationships, or in their family life, all of these things. And my goal is to help women like you feel more free, feel more calm, and feel more confident. And so the reason there's two programs is the meditation 4-week program is more for people who are, like, spiritually curious or very spiritually aligned and want to take their meditation to the next level and do some of that, like, exploring of your consciousness that I was talking about earlier. So that you can feel more peaceful and more confident in your everyday life. And then the longer mindset program is for people who maybe have a really specific goal. Maybe you want to change jobs. Maybe you're trying to start dating again. Maybe you have, like, a tense partnership with your lover or whatever it might be. You want to start changing your mindset around things. Maybe you're not necessarily a spiritual person, though I will sneak some spiritual stuff in there, whether you will call it that or not. It's for you to sort of make more long-term changes in your behavior, because what you're thinking and your subconscious thoughts lead to your behavior. And sometimes that can take a little bit longer. So that's a 8-week bi-weekly program. So we meet me every other week for 4 months. So if you're interested, you can sign up for a free 45-minute consult with me on my website at evaliao.com.
And again, if you feel the intuitive pull towards working with Eva, you should do it, because she'll change your life.
Aw, thanks, Kylie.
Speaking of people with life-changing gifts, our guest today is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Robbins Wilson is an author and she also is an incredibly gifted singer who's created her own healing modality around singing and energy that she calls angel song healing. And I know some people who've had the chance to actually get a session with her who have never stopped raving about it. She shares a little bit of her singing here in this show, and her story is just so, her gifts are beautiful, her singing is beautiful, and her story is just one of such authenticity that I think even I were really like blown away by just how beautifully she shares.
Yeah.
She's very open. She's really, really open. And that's a huge gift.
Yeah. I'm going to be totally honest. At first when I didn't know Amy, of course, my judgmental mind came in and was like, angel song. Like, what's that? That sounds super cheesy. Like, but like the minute I heard her like sing on the podcast, I was just like blown away by her gift and how she talks about using music to heal. Which at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, that's why I love music so much, because I think it could be so healing. And this podcast was actually one of the original, like one of the first podcasts that Kylie and I recorded, gosh, like months and months and months ago now. And we've been waiting for the right time to release it because Amy has some albums that are coming out in the summer and then again in the fall. So we've been kind of saving it. But it's exciting to have our first podcast come out
out in the world.
Yeah.
So you'll hear at the end, we'll pop back in to promote what her albums that are out now. But you guys are really going to love what Amy has to share.
Yeah. She's a beautiful soul and has a really beautiful story. So we hope you guys enjoy.
Amy, we're so happy to have you with us today.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I have been so excited to talk to you. We both have. I mean, for one, just, you know, you have done so many things and do so many things with your music and your healing work. And so I'm so excited to dig in and learn more about your story. Mm-hmm. The question that we always like to start with here at Hello Universe is sort of a big picture question about, you know, what does spirituality mean for you and how do you experience it?
That's a great question. So for me, spirituality is really my conversation with the universe. And it is a constant listening. It's turning your wounds into blessings, right? So, and also noticing that conversation with my body. So if I'm dealing with anxiety, what is that about? Like, how do I deal with that? How do I pray through that? How do I meditate through that? How do I breathe through that? It's every conversation that you have. And of course, it's a spiritual practice, right? So we're not going to get it all right on every conversation. But it's trying to find, okay, why did that bother me when that person said that or did that? What does that have to say about me? How does that help me with my evolution? And I think it's also the rituals that we do, whether it's meditating in the morning or praying at night or just having those conversations and those rituals is a lot about what spirituality means to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm over here like nodding my head to every single thing that you said because I'm like, wow, you did a really great job of explaining something very complex in a couple of pretty concise sentences. So
yeah. No, I wrote down turning your wounds into blessings because that I just want to like put that up on my wall. That is just a beautiful way to phrase what I think healing looks like. Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, I feel like that could be our podcast quote that we're
we're done. We can all go home now. you know, I think I love also the way you talked about noticing conversations with your body. That's something that for me has, like, as I've evolved on this journey, I feel more and more sort of in connection with the messages my body has to send to me. And so I'm curious if you could just speak a little bit more about what that looks like for you.
Well, I think especially as women, it's a really important conversation to have because our bodies change so much, right? So you go through puberty and then you may get pregnant. And if you do, that's a huge change to your body. And what does that mean? And how do you get used to that? And then, you know, you're going through menopause. And I think all of these places are amazing gifts and openings into, if not enlightenment, at least insight, right? I don't want to make it to sound like, you know, too heavy, but When I became a mother, it was a huge change, you know, and it's interesting because now as I'm going through yoga teacher training and becoming more of a yogini, the song that I wrote for the Divine Hours of Motherhood, which was probably 12 years ago, resonates even more with, we are the prayer, we are the hymn, we are the vessel, we are the blessing in heaven. So we are the prayer. I mean, we are everything. You know, we are this, we are spirituality contained and embodied and brought to earth.
Wow.
I'm speechless.
I know. I'm like, I have so many questions. Again, just so amazed that you can just do that. Like at the drop of a hat, it's pretty amazing. So this wasn't actually, I want to ask a lot more about your musical background and all of that, but just because I think we're on this topic of tuning into our bodies, and now that you're also, you know, studying yoga, how do you feel like you get in touch with your physical body? Do you have any sort of somatic practices that you do? Because I am somebody who's very much in my head, very cerebral. And, you know, when people are like, they say things in yoga class, like tune into your body, or how does your body express this? I'm like, I have no idea.
Which is why it's so important to do, right? So that's right, the first lesson. Mm-hmm. If it's hard, then we need to, that's why the practice is important. I think it means different things on different days. I think it means riding your breath and just even locating your breath, knowing where in your body you're breathing from. Is it way up high in your chest? Are you feeling anxious? Are you able to get into that belly breath? Which really brings us back to being babies, right? Because all babies breathe like that. They don't have a problem. They don't hyperventilate.
Interesting.
Where are you holding tension? Where do you have pain? I do think it is hard for us as modern Americans, especially, to get in touch with that because we spend so much of our time ignoring that. We might be sitting in chairs all day, or it's just not comfortable to sit and be quiet. And we don't necessarily consider our bodies of knowledge, right? We consider them sort of things to be ignored, and we have to sort of retrain our thinking to do that, and I think being a woman, that gives us an extra blessing of, you know, at least once a month, you get that reminder to pay attention.
It's interesting. I'm thinking of years ago, I went to a little yoga retreat, and I was always like mildly annoyed when in yoga class, they would be like, you know, pay attention to the breath in your belly, or like in meditation. And I was like, I don't know what you were saying, Eva. Like, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. My hands on my belly. I don't know. And then all of a sudden I realized that I could not actually feel into what was happening in my belly. Like I had just, for whatever various layers of reason, just had blocked that whole like experiencing of what was happening in that area of my body, and had to like really over years kind of work at paying attention to and honoring that, like, I have a belly, that this soft part of myself is valuable, that, you know, it's okay to breathe deep, as you're talking about, Amy. Like, there's just so many layers there, but it was just really interesting to be like, oh, I have just blocked this, just like completely shut down even any kind of awareness. So I think that that itself was just this really illuminating experience. So I think that you're really spot on, Amy, in just noticing as a starting place.
Yeah, I think, to continue off of that, something that I actually have been doing recently is just to be like, what's one word that expresses how my body is feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And then I think what's really helpful about this, and essentially this conversation that we're having, is that awareness in itself is already really helpful.
Amen.
It's like, you know, it's like we're saying, what do you do with the awareness? And that could be another step. But the first step of even just being aware, I think, is the practice.
Amen. Love that. And I think too, just for, you know, I hate to harp too much on, you know, American and growing up, you know, where we're supposed to all have flat bellies and like never let them pop out, right? They're supposed to all be. I just know as a teenager, that was a goal, right? You want the flat belly, so you don't breathe. And it pains me to like look in fashion magazines where they have these young women with their shoulders curled in. They're like, they're hiding their hearts. Like there's so much there about just like, oh my gosh, just open up your heart, put those shoulders back, honey. It's a whole new world, you know?
I'm actually putting my shoulders back as we're talking. Yeah. I'm adjusting.
Well, so here's a question for you.
How, I mean, music is so much about breath. So I'm curious to know if music is something that has helped you sort of find home in your body, or if, you know, your relationship to music and breathing. You know, I don't know if this question makes a ton of sense, but.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's helped me find connection to my body, and also the sort of the form of music that I've developed that I call Angel Song is what enables me to travel while I remain grounded and can sing. So when I do performances, I use breathing to sort of, to channel the music that comes to me. So when I was first starting to do that, I actually lost my voice for several months and I couldn't sing. So I had been accepted to this awesome program in Ireland at the Irish World Academy of Music and Dance. And I got accepted. I moved to Ireland. I got there, and then I lost my voice for 4 months, and that was a bit disconcerting for my my instructors. Right?
Can I ask, like, did you lose your voice in that, like, you had like had to whisper, or like that you just couldn't sing? What did that?
I couldn't ground my voice, so I couldn't put. There was no power behind it, so it was very sort of whispery, and it just didn't sound the way that I wanted it to sound, and the way that, frankly, anyone else wanted it to sound. Yeah. So I called one of my spiritual teachers back in, here in Maine, and I said, "So Sandy, like, what is going on?" And she said, "Well, Amy, your top chakras are so open, and your bottom chakras are not." And that, like, being in the energy of Ireland was very different. I had visions. I had all kinds of things happen that I wasn't used to having happen. And I said, "Well, what do I do about it?" And she said, "Well, that's your journey, right? You need to figure out how to ground that and how to hold both spaces." And so that was the gift of that program, even more than the academics, was being in that energy and learning how to hold on to my voice and stay grounded in the earth while also traveling and channeling that music from the heavens.
Whoa. Wait, can you talk more about how you did that?
So it's interesting because it's easier to do for me than to talk about, even though I've been doing it for quite a while now. It's still, the Angel Song breathing, the breathing that I do is a very, helps a lot. And I can, you know, share a video with you if you want to share it with your listeners about how to do this Angel Song breathing. But what it does is
that'd be amazing.
Keeps me in my body. And I think a lot of it too is your intention. It's like, okay, I recognize that this is happening and that I'm singing differently than other people, right? So that was a big step, because if you're a classically trained singer, there are right ways to do things and there are wrong ways to do things. And the way that I do things, quite honestly, would be considered wrong by many people, but it's my right. And so being able to claim that, I have to say that when I left Ireland after the program, in my final performance, I could feel the energy moving. And that was really just the beginning. I mean, my father, who was like not woo-woo at all, saw my grandmother in the front row who had passed years before. Several other people had experiences that were similar to that. And so I was like, okay, so I do this thing. I don't know how to talk about it. It's not like you can answer an ad in the newspaper for a sacred performer, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, what do
if
I do
only
with
one
all
day,
this, right? Right. So, and honestly, I wasn't ready to be the crazy lady that was like waving her hands in the air and talking to the angels and channeling the angels. Like, I wasn't ready for that then. Now I am. That's who I am. But I wasn't ready for that then.
Whoa. Okay. Wait. So many questions, Kylie. I see you want to ask a question too. Do you want to jump in?
I want to ask like 1,000 questions, and I want to come back to this question of like, I wasn't ready to be the crazy lady, and now I am, because I resonate with that, and I want to learn more about that. I think what I'm curious about is like, how did you? Because I also channel, because I read the Akashic Record, so I can relate to what you're saying about not being able to really explain it, but just it's something you can do. But I'm curious to know, with Angel Song, is it something, was it an intentional thing that you cultivated, or did you just sort of slip into it and realize, oh, there's something powerful that I'm doing here? And then, how did you discover that you could channel through music, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
Good question. And it goes, you know, so many things have come together. I'm going to turn 50 in a few months, and I feel like the whole thing is finally coming together, right? So I feel like my greatest gift through my 20s, 30s, and 40s has just been perseverance, just like following the breadcrumbs, following the path, following the energy lines. And so in my 20s, I studied to be an expressive arts therapist, and I also became a Reiki master and studied a form of energy work called Awakenings. So in that, I started to be able to sense the energies around me, around other people, and to be able to play with moving those energies in ways that benefited people. And as I was moving these energies in my own self one day, I was closing my eyes, and then I wanted to sing. So I started singing, and I started moving the energy around me, and I noticed how things shifted. And I was like, wow, isn't that interesting? And I didn't know what to do with it, right? But all of a sudden, I'm singing and rocking and moving energy. Okay, great. So then as I did a performance with a friend of mine that was a dance performance, and I sang with my eyes closed and I was rocking. And then I talked to the universe. I was working as a school counselor at that time. And I said, okay, universe, which is what I call Google. So I typed sacred performance into Google, and up came the Irish Royal Academy of Music and Dance. So how old am I at the time? I'm about 30 at the time. I just renovated my house. I had a steady job, and I decided I'm moving to Ireland. So it's like my family by that time,
yes,
was like, okay.
That is so cool.
That's fine.
Yes, yes, yes. I love this story.
And so when I got to Ireland,
did you just trust?
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you just trust? Did you just like see that and have a body knowing? Like, how did you overcome the fear of like, you know, leaving the stability for this? Or did you just feel like I have no option, other option? Like I just have to go.
I just went. It just felt right. I said, okay, well, I typed this in, up came the program. I said, well, I'll just apply. We'll see if I get in. So if I get in, then you make the decision, right? So you just keep making those little steps. So I made the little step, I applied, I got in, and then I said, okay, I guess I'm going. So I went. So I rented my house.
Like you said, following the breadcrumbs.
So I rented my house, I moved to Ireland, and then a whole bunch of stuff happened. But one of the great things that I learned was that in Ireland, they have Seanó singers, and a Seanó singer closes their eyes and sings for the community. And basically channels this music for the community. And it was the first time in my life that I felt like, okay, that is a knowing. That is what, I don't know if it was a path, like making that modern again, but that is what I do, you know? So, because I had always sung as a child, I'd always sung all the way through high school, but I never wanted to like go to Broadway or do any of the stuff that people sort of expect you to do when you're a singer. So I didn't know what to do with it. So I just kept sort of following those energy lines. And then that was the knowing. So I felt like, okay, by the end of that year, I used that as a model to sort of say, okay, this is what I'm doing. I am channeling the love and the light of the universe to the people in this audience. And that's what my mission is. So I had my mission. And then I've been spending the next, almost 20 years trying to figure out how to get it to the world.
Wow. Okay. This is my question, because I don't have any experience with this. I don't know. I almost want to call it like a superpower of channeling. And I think, can you explain to me almost like on a foundational level? I think I need just like really basic explanation of like what it means to channel. I don't know if that's too big of a question. Like, is it that you feel like you're channeling something bigger than you and it's coming through you, and you're the instrument for sharing it with the world?
That's a good question.
Just to affirm, you're making a face. So I just want to say that's a good question. Yeah, because I don't know. I think it's like,
I almost feel like it's so sacred. Part of me doesn't know I want to ask the question, because then it's like, I think there's something special about keeping sacred things sacred. So that's why I'm making this space.
No, Amy, what does it feel like for you?
You know, the first time that I felt it, or in that performance in Ireland, I felt like I was walking in the skirts of, I don't know if it's my higher self, or like, you know, who knows what these terms, you know, it's almost like by putting it in words, you, it's not that you cheapen it, but you,
limit it.
You limit it. Yeah. That's a good way, because honestly, who knows? I don't know if this is my wiser self, my higher self that I'm tapping into. Sure. Could be. I love that idea. I love that image of walking in the skirts of this greater power, because I think that, you know, our spirit can only be so big on this plane, right? So when you tap into that higher self that is all spirit, well, then you can move that love and light energy into the world. So yeah. I guess it just feels like I'm tapping into a larger source of love and light. And that by doing the work that I've done for the last 30 years and sort of hollowing out that hollow bone that is in the body of the energy worker, right, that allows you to move this energy through yourself, that by doing that work, then I'm able to channel that love into the world so that it feeds me and it feeds those around me.
Yeah, I think you actually did. That's such an amazing way of explaining it, because I completely agree. I think the problem with language is that it's limiting. And it's like we're trying to describe really big, maybe even like indescribable, ineffable things and putting it into words. But I just
want to
say,
make a whole podcast about it.
Yeah, make a whole podcast about it. But you did help me kind of understand a little bit more, yeah, about what your personal experience is. And so,
and I think
I will add.
Well, I think it's available to everybody too. I don't think it's just my superpower, right? I mean, I think this is what yoga is about. I think this is you're clearing your vessel, you're preparing your vessel, however you do that, you know? And this universal love light energy is available to everybody if we take the time and the quiet to tap in.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's what you're saying, you know, could sound really airy fairy to somebody else. But the truth is, I've actually heard other people say the same thing about art and creating and dance and any type of like expression. You know, this is, your language is not that different from a painter or a craftsman who's like, I don't know where I got the idea from. It just kind of came to me. You know, I'm not responsible for it. I just, you know, used my body and my intuition to create something. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people can understand or get on board with.
I think you nailed it. I think that's the gift of artists, is that we just pay attention. Right? We're constantly listening. We're constantly paying attention to, why is that so beautiful? What makes that so beautiful? When I hear a phrase, I'm like, oh, wow, how could I sing that? What else would I sing with it? What does this song want to be? What does this meditation want to be? Who needs to hear this song? So when I'm performing live, it's improvisational. So I pull in, but it's not, some things just come to me and I sing them, but often it's like, oh, they need this song, or this person needs this song, or this person needs this song. So it's having that store of songs in your library to be able to pull them out and say, okay, this is for this person, this is for this person. And then being able to also improvise with what you're being given in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think, it's interesting too, because for me, channeling feels like spaciousness. Mm. And so what you were saying, Eva, about, it's something that everyone can relate to. I think for me, channeling feels like spaciousness in my heart and in my body. And that's also how I feel when I am like putting my kids to sleep or like when I'm doing the things where I am like, really, or in a good, like a yoga class where I'm really present, or like, you know, if I'm sitting outside and I let things fall away, like that feeling of being present and like in the moment of my life is the same feeling. It's like maybe the volume's turned up a little bit, but it's the same feeling when I channel. So I think it's just like, it's just variations on a scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Variations of being like really present and sensing what's there when you're present. Ooh, I love that. Okay, so this then makes a lot of more sense to me, because I know that you, I'm talking to Amy, use your singing in your yoga classes and your Reiki, right? Is that accurate?
So I do sound healing sessions. And I also do sing a yoga class here at our fabulous local studio, Ananda Yoga and Wellness, which has just been a huge blessing. And I do private sessions where I do angel song awakenings. So what that does is I call down the angels, we clear out the chakras, clear out your energy system, fill your blocks full of love and light so that they are dissipated and transformed, and then close you back up, and then you can float on out.
Wow. I really want to go to one of those classes. So essentially you're channeling and you're using your music then as a healing modality, right? Is that
it is. Yep. So often when I'm working with someone, if I'm singing something around them, I will hear an overtone, or I'll hear dissonance, or I'll hear something that needs to be moved. And then I will be told whether I should sing into it or if I should move it. With like a brushing technique. So it's all sort of intuitive working in that sacred space around the body to help someone realign and lighten up, right? We're all here to just lighten up, get that light going. don't let the darkness get you down. Just lighten us up.
Yeah. And we're all here to like, when I think of lighten up, I also think of lightening the load, like letting go of all of the layers of shit that we're carrying that's not necessary, and then getting back to our natural state, which feels much more centered, you know, like much more at ease. So that's funny. That's what I think of when I think of lightening up.
I also think of like being joyful and silly, right? Like just not taking ourselves so seriously, right?
Okay, so I'm going to jump in with another question.
Please.
I think this is like what I am so excited to talk about. And I think this is a good segue is, I want to know, what is my question? What do you think the relationship is between music and healing? Because I have a very strong connection with music. I love music. I find it to be not only therapeutic, but it's the kind of thing that will just move me to my core. And it's always kind of been there. And I think that's, some people experience that and some people don't. And I was wondering, just like your own personal experience, what is your relationship with music and healing for yourself or maybe others? And why do you think it is that music can be so touching for people?
Well, at the core of our being, we're all just vibration. So if you go into the smallest structures, right, of an atom, and I'm sure even smaller than that, it's like everything is moving, and that's what gives it form, right? We have a slower vibration, and then we have a higher vibration. So wherever you are in that vibration is what gives you your form. So whenever you're singing or being sung to or just listening to music, that vibration is affecting wherever your vibration is. And we all know that music changes our mood. That's why we put music on too. I mean, if I'm going to go and jog at the gym, I've got one track that I listen to over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. If I want my son to go to sleep, then, you know, I had these lullabies that I would sing. So it's just finding what music you need at the time to give you that vibrational fix. So I think music is inherently healing. And I think we all know that. That's because we apply it daily.
Yeah. Do you feel like that has been your experience? Do you find that music is healing for you?
I find silence very healing for me, actually. I don't listen to a lot of music, because for me, the music comes out of the silence. But I'll tell you sort of the life event that triggered this path for me. And that was when I was in high school. I always sang the national anthem from the middle of the football field. And my senior year, I was out and I was singing the national anthem. And, I raised my hands and said, "And the land of the free." And I felt this white light just come and enter the top of my head and go through my entire body. And I had my arms out and the light was coming out my arms and out my my heart chakra. I didn't know it was a heart chakra then. I had no idea about chakras or anything then. I just felt like I was lit up like this star. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is where I want to live. Like, this is where I want to be. This is it. And then I lowered my hands to, and the home of the brave. And I worked to get back to that feeling for almost 20 years after that. I mean, it wasn't until I was in Ireland that I felt that again. So 12 years. But that was my touchstone moment, was feeling that light and love that could be channeled through sound. And then
I
had to find my way to it.
Did you know instantly that this was something spiritual? Like, how did you sort of process that experience?
I didn't process it for a long time, because how do you talk to somebody about that? I mean, I wasn't going to go to church and say, hey, I was like singing and, you know, this thing happened. It just sort of lived in my back pocket for a long time, until I started doing energy work. And then I had a vision that my life's work was to sing to people's chakras. And I was like, oh, great. Okay. Love it. How do I do that? So that's the quest, right?
Yeah. 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 That's what your teacher said. I wrote that down too in the beginning when you said, what do I do about it? That's your journey, right? Like, how often, that's my experience again and again, is that I'm like, okay, great. Tell me the answer. How do I do this thing? And the answer is like, that figuring that out is the point, right? The point is not what you achieve at or arrive at, but the point is the journey, which that's something I really struggle with, but it's a good reminder. Mm-hmm.
So I think, I love this story that you tell, because actually just like 2 days ago, read a passage to Eva from a book that I love, that talked about exactly this, which is that for so many people, there's this sort of transcendent moment, this experience where we touch something greater than ourselves. And then we're on this quest, like you said, to like get back there. I remember the first time I entered the records, I literally asked, can I just live here? That's awesome. Like, this is great. So I think that I bet a lot of our listeners can relate to that idea of like you touch something and you don't necessarily understand what it is that you touched. But that you know that you found something that has hugely expanded you and that is really important and you kind of can't shake it. But also, I think it can feel really lonely and isolating, because it's not a thing that a lot of people talk about or share openly. I think that's such a powerful story. I can really relate to that. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like now that feeling that you talked about, do you feel like that's something that you can access pretty easily now that you've done this work and committed yourself to this? Or do you think it's still something that is not a place you arrive at that often?
I can get there much more easily now. I won't say that I'm there all the time even in every single performance, but it's a much easier state to access, just because it's building those pathways, right? So it's knowing, oh yeah, you know, I turn left here. And then I go a little right here and I feel this, and then, okay, now here I am. So if you've only done it once, it's harder to remember the path. But if you've done it several times, then you start, it just starts to be the path, and it's a familiar friend. And that's the same with yoga, right? You say, oh, this is the way that pose is supposed to feel. And then, oh, okay, so this is how I get there. I move this and this and this, and there I am. And oh, there, you know, so it feels a lot like that. Feels a lot like that.
So, and you kind of answered my next question, which is, do you feel like you touch that place outside of singing? And it sounds like for you, you also touch that space in yoga.
I touch that space in meditation. I aspire to touch that space in yoga. I can't say that I've been there yet. I feel like I'm still working on the vessel there, you know.
And how do you sort of, in your everyday moments, how do you sort of cultivate this connection? It sounds like meditation, but I don't know if there are.
Breathing is absolutely key for me. Doing my angel song breathing, where I become that connection of earth and sky, is just crucial for me. It brings me back home. And it's so automatic for me now that it's a much easier place to access than it was even, you know, 5 years ago. Yeah.
I want to try this angel song breathing. Like, yeah. what is this? Is it like meditation? Because I find that also in meditation, when I am so, you know, focused on my breath, which essentially just brings me to the present moment, that to me is also very, it's grounding, but it also takes me to that space that I think we're talking about of just like presence, spaciousness, connection.
Yeah.
I'm curious if there's a relationship.
No, it's absolutely, what I do is I sort of layer it on the three-part breathing that probably a lot of people are very familiar with, where you start and you breathe into your belly and then into your chest and then into your heart. And then you just get used to breathing there. Okay. And this breathing came to me because I was recording an album, The Divine Hours of Motherhood. And I started to make the infinity symbol with my right hand, and the recording just went really easily. And I was like, oh, wow. Isn't that interesting? What's that about? Like, what's up with the lemniscate infinity thing? And so I went to meditation and they showed me that I could actually become the lemniscate. So if you imagine the two loops in the infinity symbol and the center, if you imagine that where your heart is, okay, and then you're inside that. So the top loop goes from your heart out your back up to what I call the solar chakra above your head and then back to your heart. So can you imagine that loop going from your back over your head and then connecting in the front of your heart? That's the inhale.
Wait, hold on. The back to the front of your head?
So you breathe in through the front of your heart, and the chakras go both ways, right? So they come out the front of you and they come out the back of you. Okay. So they're like two triangular tubes. So if you breathe in the front and through your body, out the back, and then up to the above your head, and then down around back to the starting point, that's the top loop. And then you're going to exhale by exhaling through the body, out the back of the heart, down into the earth, and then exhale all the way back to your starting point, which is back at your heart. So you're inhaling up and you're exhaling out. And then you keep making that infinity symbol with your breathing, inhaling and exhaling. And I'll have a video of this on my website, and then you can add colors. You can add all kinds of stuff to it too. So I will.
I was going to say, I started seeing colors.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I could feel just in a few moments, I could feel there's some powerful energy there.
It really works for me. So I hope it works for others. Yeah.
I think what's interesting too, again and again, I just keep finding tools and meditation rituals and ways of breathing and moving that have to do with this layering between the earth and our bodies and the heavens. Like it's, so this is just been coming up a lot for me. And so I'm so touched by this. I think there's something so sacred about like we stand as the sort of connection between the two and honoring the energy that we give to both and receive from both the earth and sort of whatever it is that's up above us. So I don't know, that's really beautiful.
I love that. You know, we are the intermediaries, right? Between heaven and earth. And if we can honor that in ourselves, then what amazing creatures we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, something that that really stuck with me. I worked with a woman a couple earlier this year, and I'm hearing, you know, you two reference occupying this space and how, you know, over time it gets easier to access this space. But something that she said to me that I just love so much and is just stuck with me is she seems to be somebody who I think, I don't know, she's able to, I don't even know how to explain it. I will just say what she told me was that she's like, I no longer try and try and get into this enlightened state. And essentially what I try and do is I try to stay in the in-between, is what she said, which is like an in-between of, well, she didn't actually even go into it that much. I kind of like was then trying to understand, what do you mean by that? Ooh, this in-between. I think about it all the time. It's like, I think she has one foot here on earth, you know, doing her human thing, and then one foot in her own spiritual practice, whatever that might look like. And I think she can like almost, it's like go like be there both simultaneously, and it's almost like when she says the in-between, I imagine her just kind of like coming and going between both different ways of existing. And I think that to me has been a really like something that I think I'm also now I can understand, and something that I think I kind of ascribe to was like, how can I like live in the in-between? And she did this thing with her hands, which is like to symbolize that the space in between is like the in-between, and like you're just trying to stay in here. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Mm. Yeah. So that's interesting.
I love that, because it's all about balance. I mean, that's the thing that I'm thinking of, right? Is that like, it's all about, or I mean, people use the phrase alignment a lot, right? But I think it's easy for us to strive and think our connection is really, we're just supposed to be like connected to the universe. We're supposed to be like enlightened. We're supposed to be like achieving something, right? But that really it's this in between. It's this, like, we are the conduit, as you said, Amy, like we have to inhabit that space and balance and breathe and live there. And that's actually where the magic happens.
And I just was laughing because we were talking and she was like, yeah. And I still get annoyed by stupid stuff. Like, you know, if I spill red wine all over my carpet, I'm still going to be annoyed. Like, I can still be annoyed by just like everyday human things. And that's fine. I have my preferences and whatever. And then there's also just a higher sort of that the observing mind, where you can just observe that, oh, haha, I'm just being a silly human. Like, all of this is just so, you know, you can laugh at yourself, because you can also see that all of these things that we get so caught up in are inconsequential. And the fact that we're getting, you know, our panties in a twist is actually kind of funny.
And I also think that it's a bit of a patriarchal setup that we have, right? That if you're in your mind, or if you're enlightened and you're not in the body, then that's better than being embodied. And I think that we're embodied for a reason.
Please. Okay. I am so glad the patriarchy is coming up. Say more.
Yes.
Well, I just think that, you know, we, in so many ways, we denigrate the body, because, and we associate it with the feminine, and we associate it with, you know, all the things that women go through with, you know, blood and birth and the stuff that is traditionally sort of scary to the patriarchy. And I think that we need to be able to be bound in that beauty. I don't know. I was, one of the things that I was singing one day was, I walk in beauty bound, you know, in beauty bound. And I think that, you know, especially women, we're here to bring that love and light to the world, to embody that. I mean, I think both men and women do that, but there's too much emphasis on, cutting things out of our auras, or instead of like loving them into light and like singing love into them. And there's too much emphasis on leaving the body. Like, yes, I love the idea of the in-between, because I think that's the definition of enlightenment, quite honestly, because if you're able to be embodied and also channeling this wonderful space, which is, you know, I think I sing from the in-between. That's, you know, I've got sort of a new definition. That's exactly how it feels, is that you are becoming this conduit for love and light, but you are in your body. I mean, we don't get to leave this until we leave for good, right? So I think honoring that connection is a beautiful thing.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah, honestly, I'm just speechless. I'm like, I don't know how to follow that up. I'm thinking, because I'm like, this is really getting my brain going. I'm like, wow, this is really interesting.
it's interesting. Oh, yeah, there's so many.
Because then that leads to motherhood, right? And all the stuff that happens in motherhood, and all of the sacred work that happens in motherhood, and how that's not honored. That's why I did the Divine Hours of Motherhood, because quite honestly, my son almost died twice before he was two. And I was in a pretty PTSD state after he almost died the second time. And when he came out of the NICU that first year, I had to find a spiritual reference point for me to get me through getting up and nursing him every 2 hours, because that's the schedule that he got on when he was in the NICU. Like, every 2 hours, he needed to be fed. So we had this... So that's what I did for the first year. I was a walking zombie, and I, you know, was nursing my baby. And I said, well, what is my spiritual reference point? And I thought about the nuns and the monks that get up and they do what's called the the hours, right? So you sing Vespers and Nones and like all the different hours of the day. And so I wrote prayers and songs for each of those hours. And it made such a difference to me to have something, a prayer to say at 3 o'clock in the morning and a song to sing at 3 o'clock in the morning, to make it feel like a ritual and to make it feel sacred to me, rather than just, oh my gosh, my baby won't sleep through the night, because babies don't sleep through the night. That's not their job. So that really helped transform that time.
Oh, wow. I also have a mom. My kids are little. I have a 7-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. And I think one of the many things I'm touched by about this story, but one of the things I'm touched by is, you know, when I think when you become a mother, I think the fear that something will happen to your children is so intense and palpable and instant. I actually think a lot of postpartum, my personal theory is a lot of postpartum grief has to do with just like managing this overwhelming fear that you're like, oh my God, I've never loved someone as much as I do. And now I have to keep them alive. So I can't even imagine. I think that's just like what everyone experiences. And then layering in having two such close brushes with that. And I think the fact that you, I don't know, showed up and leaned into that instead of running away, and sort of like putting your hand up of like, I can't look, that's too scary and dark and might swallow me whole, but actually sort of turned to that with grace and created a beautiful ritual around it is, that's healing turning your wounds into blessings. And I think that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think that's a great strength, actually. That's what I see that as, is like having faith and these kinds of rituals, I think takes strength. I don't know how else to say it, because otherwise the alternative I think is a little bit easier. Yeah. We could just get lost without any kind of like touch point. And I think being able to find that and create that for ourselves speaks to a person's strength, I think.
I'm curious if you could speak more also. So motherhood and spirituality are like intrinsically connected for me, and it's been hugely expansive and connecting to sort of something bigger than myself and becoming a mother. And it sounds like it's definitely been the case for you, and you sort of reference that a little bit, but could you just speak a little bit more about what the relationship between motherhood and spirituality is for you in your life?
Would you mind if I read something from my book?
Oh, sure.
So when I wrote this, I was really struggling with not working for money. And, you know, everyone was telling me that motherhood was my job, and that didn't feel right. Because if it was, I was quite a sucker, right? Because I was no pay, no benefits, and they were long hours. So I said, I don't really like that definition. So this is what I wrote in the introduction. This is, when we approach motherhood as a job, we put ourselves at the service of our children. If approached as a spiritual practice, we see it as a journey of mutual benefit. It becomes an adventure to be embarked upon with great anticipation and expectation, a pilgrimage of the soul. We do not embark on great journeys expecting all to go smoothly. Schedules will not always be kept, not all roads will be easily traveled, but there will be learning in every step and joy in unexpected places. We emerge transformed. This is holy, holy sacred practice. And then if I could...
Wow, that's so beautiful. So beautiful. As somebody who has a lot of fears and doubts and confusion about whether I even want to be a mother, I feel like that speaks to me. I don't know. That speaks to me in a way where I can get on board with like, oh, I can see how this could be just like the most beautiful and valuable experience ever.
It is. And it has been. And also the most challenging and the scariest. And I remember looking at my son when he was about 7 months old, and I just fell into his eyes. It was the freakiest thing. I just left my body and fell into his eyes. And when you can see your child as a spiritual partner, right? I mean, they're here to teach you and you're here to teach them. And there's just so much in that relationship that is magic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that notion, I find that when I'm most
sort of overwhelmed in parented is when I think it's my job to make something happen. And when I really feel like I'm partners with my kids, which is not to say like I have responsibilities to them, like, but when I see them as their own, you know, wise beings, I can have so much more grace, and patience, and just be open to the joy of whatever it is. But it's when I'm like really, really adamant of like, you have to sit in this seat. I have a toddler, so you know,
right?
Like, there's a lot of that. But that I guess I'm just saying, like, when I think of it, I think of my job, to use that word, is a job, and that it's to, you know, like, be in charge of them. I'm actually really disconnected from the experience and from their own, I don't know, gorgeous little souls.
Mm-hmm. And God knows when you're sleep deprived, you're not always going to be in that spiritual place, right? So that's what makes it part of the journey, you know? And that's why, you know, I created Mommy Jingles because I had a song for everything, like, because this music speaks to your child's brain in such a different way. So I remember I couldn't get anyone to come to the table. And I was like, hey, everybody, dinner's ready. Like, come to the table. Like, where is everybody? And I was getting really frustrated. And then I sang, come to the table as soon as you are able. And he came like he was in a trance. I was like, oh my goodness, that's the new ritual.
I think that is so cool. I know that sounds okay. So, because when I was a kid, I loved it when my mom sang to me. Mm-hmm. Because my mother is a classically trained opera singer. And I just remember, I almost feel confident that the reason that music holds such a special place in my heart is because she sang to me when I was a kid. We were always, you know, she always had classical music on, and it does something to your brain, and it kind of fuses into your body. And I just remember I could not wait for her to come home and like sing me to sleep, or if I couldn't fall asleep, and she was like, she would like work really late hours, but she, you know, I couldn't fall asleep until she came home and sang to me and all that stuff. And so, but also, you're right, she did yell at me all the time about not finishing my dinner, not coming to the table, like taking a shower, all those things. If she had sang to me, I would have been like, this sounds so much more fun. Instead of yelling at me, right? Because she's also simultaneously also yelling.
And then maybe with my son, when I was working from home, let's see, he was probably around 6. So he started singing back to me. So he's like, Mommy, would you please give me some attention? It's a big give me some attention. And then what are you going to do? Of course you're going to stop what you're doing and give him attention because he just sang it to you.
Oh my God, that is genius. Because singing is so much fun. It's something that I think as adults we don't do enough of, you know, and yeah, it's like, let's integrate this into our everyday lives. And I think kids also just naturally sing more effortlessly, like with ease, without any sort of self-consciousness. Yeah.
Oh,
that is cool.
I mean, kids love to sing, and it really helped me through my postpartum anxiety and postpartum everything that I had, you know, just to be able to sing, because when you sing, you have to breathe differently. You're naturally falling into a deeper breathing rhythm. And, you know, they were silly songs. So, you know, it's hard to like be upset when you're singing the poopy dance or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I shared this story, I think, on a podcast the other day, so very briefly, but my son taught me, I could not sing for the life of me, and my son taught me how to sing. When, like, I swear to God, he came to me before he was born and was like, all rainbows and music, which is his personality to a T. He's the most musical little kid. And the other day, my friend commented, she's known me for years, and I sang something, and she was like, oh my God, like, you got, what? because it's not that I'm a beautiful, like, you know, it's not that I'm an incredible singer, but it's that I can sing now. And I previously couldn't. And I really believe that my son was like, I'm a musician, so you have to get your shit together because we're going to be singing all the time.
That's right.
That's and awesome. I do. And that. it's been so, like, I didn't have hangups while being a bad singer because I didn't have a lot of attachment to that, but man, it is so much fun to be able to sing. And we sing all the time, and it is really beautiful.
Yeah. I think singing is like something that's natural in like, literally it's natural, as in we are able, it is like our birthright or whatever you want to call it, like noise and sound and melody literally comes out of our throat.
just the way that I think like dance is also innately a part of us. Mm-hmm. It's like, even before we had social structure, even before we had, you know, industrial anything, like what we were doing in our tribal communities was like singing and dancing. So it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like that was like a, I don't want to say dormant thing, but a thing that was there in you that your son brought out in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
And think about where else is he going to get a live performance like that? Right. I mean, how precious is that?
Yeah.
I think that when I imagine back before you could record things and before you could even write notes down, like, and then that wasn't that long ago. It was like notational music only really got formalized in the 17th century. So like before that, if you heard a performance, it was magic and it happened once. Mm. That was it. You're never going to hear it again. And that moment was sacred. And really the only places that we find that now are if our parents sing to us, or in live concerts. And I think that's why I get so much anxiety about recording because I'm like, oh, if I sing this way, you know, I may not sing this when I perform it the same way. And because the recording that I'm just releasing, or I'm about to release, called Beside Still Waters, is a compilation of healing songs and mantras that I've sung in performances for probably the last 12 years and a couple new ones. But I've had such a hard time actually getting to the studio and recording it because for me, they're such living, breathing songs and they can change in the moment, that when I release it, it's like, oh, this is what it is now, right? Everyone's going to expect this when they hear this song. So it's not that it cheapens it. It formalizes it in a way that I have resisted until now.
Yeah. It sounds like too, the way you describe, you know, singing and performing, it sounds like it's such a fluid, living thing. You know, you talk about like seeing energy and moving, and like, I'm moving my hand as I'm saying this. So I can imagine mm-hmm. that there's some resistance to the like static, quote unquote, permanence of a recording. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But as someone who I think I go to, you know, I really love music. I go to a lot of live shows. If this is any consolation, I want to say something that I actually love about seeing a live performance is that I want it to be different from the recorded thing because I know what the recorded thing sounds like. And that can be cool too. Don't get me wrong. If someone's going to play my favorite hit, that's great, you know, but what is cool to me about a live performance is that it's like you said, it's organic and I get to hear it in a different way, that the artist wants to express it in that moment. And you're right. It's like, it's only going to be, I'm only ever going to hear it like this time that I'm in this live concert. And then next time I hear it, it's always going to have to go back to, you know, the recorded version of it. And so the live performance makes it, that's what makes it so special because it's unique. So
maybe I love that's that, like Eva. Something thank that can... you.
You're welcome.
That helps me a lot.
Okay, good. I'm happy. Okay. So, we are kind of getting down to time, but I know that there's something that both Kylie and I were both curious about and that you touched on actually in the beginning of this call, which is essentially the coming out of your spiritualness. I mean, you talked about how, like, you know, in the beginning you didn't know how to talk about it, or, you know, you just didn't want to be that quote unquote crazy lady who was, you know,
waving her arms,
felt this certain way.
Yeah,
waving her arms. So that's something that I'm curious about. And I don't know, Kylie, did you have anything else you want to add to the question?
That's exactly, I'd love to hear how you made peace with like being perceived as a crazy lady singing with angels, and sort of what were the steps, right, by which you decided, like, all right, yeah, let's do this, let's be quote unquote out.
Right, but also and how you incorporate that into your regular normal life, mm-hmm. like, you know, balancing jobs and being with other mothers and all of that stuff.
Interesting question. So it kind of surprised me, and I didn't realize I was out until last year. I was invited to do a interview on our little local community TV. And they asked me about Angel Song, and I just said exactly what it was. And I was like, oh, like this other part of me was like saying, oh, I guess we're here. I guess we're doing this now. So we're not just doing music. We're actually like doing the crazy angel waving our arms in the air and like moving energy thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. And it just felt right. Like, so I sort of haven't gone back from then. I still have a hard time sometimes explaining to people what it is, because really once you need to experience it. So I'm just like, just come, you know, come and see what you think. But even like 5 years ago, I was not ready. My husband had taken a video of a performance that I did, and I was talking about the history of Angel Song and I was singing and I was like, wow, I don't want that posted anywhere. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. Why am I still hiding? Like, what is this about? What am I afraid of in this? And I think it just sort of has been, it's been good to be singing regularly in the yoga studio so that people are experiencing the music and having their experiences and giving me that feedback. And so I think that I've gained a lot of confidence in that. And I think that bringing it out into the world more in those kinds of spaces has given me more confidence to talk about it and practice talking about it. And now it's just who I am. So yeah, I'm the Angel Song Lady.
I love that.
That's great.
And is Angel Song, is it something that people, like, do people have to do it in person with you? Because I know, like, some people who do Reiki will do it at a distance. You know, is it something that you feel like people really have to be present in the room with you? Or do you ever do it for people at a distance?
You know, that's so interesting. I've never tried it at a distance, but I would be open to trying that. I mean, whenever I'm doing a video and I'm calling down the angels, I mean, I hope that that energy translates because, you know, I'm praying before and during that, you know, may this be to the benefit of all who hear it. And I think that that energy does get contained even in a recording so that I think that the music can help, which is the reason I do recordings, right? If I didn't feel like I could move that vibration at least a little bit onto that recording, then it wouldn't be worth it. So I do sing with that intention and I record with that intention. It would be interesting to do distance stuff. I haven't tried it before. I mean, I know that distance Reiki is very effective. I have no doubts about that. And music is just vibration and energy. So why wouldn't it work? Yeah, something to look into.
Cool. Yeah, something to try.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you have two willing guinea pigs.
Yeah, seriously. If you want to test it out on anybody, we
are here. We might know someone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like this hasn't been said yet, and I think it should be said because I just think it's important to state though that the people who have experienced your this healing modality of, you know, mixture of music and Reiki and yoga, all that stuff, rave about it from what I've read and from what Kylie has told me, that people like that's what's so awesome about this is that the people who have tried it firsthand and experienced it are so fucking excited about it. They seem to love it.
It is a special brand of magic that you have. It is very clear. I've been lucky enough to talk to a number of people who've experienced it, and they just can't stop telling me how beautiful your work is and how healing it is. And I just have heard it so many times, so effusively. So you definitely have something special going on.
Yeah. So for the people who are in Maine, I feel like you should jump on that because you can actually get the one-on-one personal experience.
Yeah.
And for everyone who's not in Maine, I am going to be starting on Patreon next year. So join my mailing list and learn more about that because I think it is interesting to do. I'm going to be doing live meditations for my patrons online. So that may be a great way to sort of test the idea. Yeah. So Patreon, you subscribe to an artist and it's a way for us to make a steady living. So you, for $5 a month or $10 a month, you get live meditations or everything that I record, or, you know, we're figuring out what all the tiers are. But if, you know, the challenge in being an artist is, you know, especially a musician, is that you release this music and it goes out free into the world. And, you know, you hope that it blesses a lot of lives, but it's not necessarily coming back to you monetarily. So Patreon would be a way where you could subscribe to my channel and make it possible for me to keep recording and keep doing music and keep doing workshops and those kinds of things and get the benefit of.
So we will post all of that in the show notes for people to connect with you. So, you know, for the last question of the podcast, what we like to ask our guests is what is one thing that is bringing joy to your life right now?
I think being outside in nature always brings me joy. I need to be in nature that's where I find my joy. My family brings me a lot of joy. My chickens bring me a lot of joy. I've got 8 chickens and they just crack me up on a regular basis. So yeah, there's a lot of joy.
Awesome. That's great. And you, Kylie, what's something that's bringing you joy right now?
Okay, so I should have prepared because I knew this question was coming.
Oh goodness. You know, so we're recording this and it's just after Halloween, and I probably, by the time you're listening to it, Halloween will be like ancient history, but my kids were so stinking cute for Halloween that it was just, it was so much fun. My son, we live somewhat close to Rhode Island, and any listeners who live in Rhode Island, there's this big blue bug that is a giant billboard on the side of the highway, and that was my son's chosen Halloween costume. For a pesticide company. And he just, like, this was the first year that he really understood what Halloween was. Like, last year he just, like, tried to walk into everybody's house, and we let him have candy this year for the first time, and like, he just was like, watching him sprint down the street with his little like bug wings, and then like trying candy, and just like the like eyes like bugging out of like, oh my gosh, what is this thing? This is amazing. Was just like, oh man, secondhand joy.
Yeah, that sounds like pure joy right there.
Yeah. And yes, this earlier today he was getting like, he was having a hard time. He was getting very emotional, getting crying a lot for a while. And so one of the things I do sometimes to help him calm down is we just say like, okay, I try to ask him a lot of questions about the present. And so I'll say like, you know, is your hair wet or cold right now? And it helps ground him. And so I was like, you know, what do you taste in your mouth right now? And he looks at me and goes, he had not had candy all day, but it's like apparently the taste was lingering, so that is what's bringing me joy.
It's very sweet.
All right, Eva, how about you? What is bringing you joy right now?
Okay, so I have actually two things. One, in line with the theme of music, is I've been really getting into NPR's Tiny Desk videos. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's a pretty big corner on the internet. It's essentially, you know, artists of all kinds, you know, from hip hop artists to big name artists like Taylor Swift to everything in between. They perform live and it's recorded and it's at this tiny desk. But the reason it's been so awesome is because, gosh, I just like got sucked into a YouTube hole watching these videos, and I was just reminded of how much crazy unfiltered talent there really is in the world. Because what it does is it takes these like really produced artists and it strips their music down to its like most basic form, and it's like acoustic or just like there was this one rapper, Gucci Mane, who usually does like really loud trap music, but it was just like him and then this guy on the keyboards, and it was just all of the music sounds so freaking good in this way. I've known about Tiny Desk for a long time, but I just kind of forgot about it, and being reintroduced to it, I was like, oh my God, there's just so much amazing art and music out there. So much talent out there. And it's a really great way to like find new music. So for anybody who's like in a music like lull, you can check out Tiny Desk. And then the second thing I wanted to say, because this really brought me so much happiness the other day, is bread and cheese. And like
always bread and cheese.
Bread and cheese with fig spread, because I actually should not eat. That's so good. Like dairy is not great for me, so I like try not to eat it a lot, but it's like fall right now, and you know, you just want like those like comfort foods and like the chewy bread with like that perfect like kind of, you know, I splurge on expensive cheese and then just the fig jam. I was like, oh my God, this is heaven. So that really brought me joy.
You had me at fig jam
all around.
Yeah. Yeah, I am gonna go eat some after we're done recording this podcast.
Perfect. Oh my gosh, this has been such a delight. Amy, I'm so honored that you shared just some of your magic with us today. Thank you so much.
Learned so much, and I just enjoyed hearing everything about your story and your experiences. It's really enlightening.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to be with you.
We will link to all of your stuff in the show notes, and including the Patreon information and all of that. Is there anything that you in particular want to plug in addition to that Patreon that you mentioned?
Yeah, my new album, Besides Still Waters, will be out by the end of the year. So I hope people will check that out and tell me what they think of it.
All right.
Oh, great. And they can also find you. Yeah, where can they find you on all the internets?
So amyrobinswilson.com is the best place right now. And then sign up for my mailing list there, and we'll go from there. Oh, and you can also find me on Facebook. I'm sorry, healing music artist Amy Robbins Wilson. Those are the two best places. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And you can find me, Eva, at, Bad Bitch Living on Instagram. That's where I post most of my stuff. And Kylie?
And I'm at Akashic Grace on Instagram, posting pictures. And then you can follow the podcast at Hello Universe Pod.
Yeah, that's our Instagram handle. And also, yes, if you could like, and if you like the show, we'd be so appreciative if you could rate us and maybe leave a nice review, because that really does help us, especially in the beginning of starting this podcast. The more reviews and the more likes we get, the better off we'll sort of be.
Yeah, there's something magical apparently in the algorithm in the first 8 weeks. So if you are a procrastinator like myself and are meaning to review, this would be a great time to do it. And yes. If you know, thought of anybody that would love to hear all of the wisdom that Amy had to share today, and you think they might enjoy this podcast, please pass it along to anyone who you think might enjoy it. And just thank you so, so much from the bottom of our hearts for listening and going on this journey with us.
Yes.
Great.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Bye.
You can get Amy's free Earth to Stars Alignment guided meditation and learn more about her healing music at amyrobbinswilson.com. Amy's new album, All Is Well Musical Meditations for Body, Mind, and Spirit, will be out summer 2020. And her album, Beside Still Waters, Musical Meditation for the Christian Soul, is scheduled for a fall 2020 release. Learn more about her Mommy Jingles musical parenting program and buy her book, Transformational Mothering, links in the show notes. Enjoy.
Okay.